This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And whenever we try to count the blessings of Allah,
we will never be able to list them down.
These are all the blessings that we know, some of the blessings that we don't know.
They are blessings.
Ni'ama.
Zahiratan that we can see, and batinah, those things that we could not see, could not imagine.
So alhamdulillah.
And ni'ma of Islam, the guidance of Islam, al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'matī wa raditu lakum al-Islam dīnan.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down in the fields of Arafah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah has completed the way of life for a human being.
That if you follow, you will complete your life. This is the complete instruction manual.
Then alhamdulillah, al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'matī wa raditu lakum al-Islam dīnan.
The Arafah, the final Hajj of the Prophet, Allah completed the deen, the way of life, and Allah has completed his pleasure upon us.
And he is pleased with Islam for human to follow.
Alhamdulillah.
And there's no other way that we can sustain this Islam, Iman, believing in Allah, believing in the Prophet, following the Sunnah. There's no other way to achieve this except by seeking knowledge, except by coming, learning, reading books, going to classes, listening to reminders, constant reminders, istiqamah upon listening to the reminders. And these are the things that will raise your status. Allah won't see who amongst you have a lot of possessions. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise the status of those who believe among you and those who have knowledge. Those who have knowledge, Allah will raise their ranks. For example, if you have knowledge of Quran, if you memorize the Quran, a lot of Qurans, then inshallah, Allah, you are eligible to lead the prayer. Ya ummun nas aqra'uhum bi kitabillah. Those who can lead the prayer are those who know the kitab of Allah, who memorize most of the book of Allah. And for the boys, For the men, Allah will raise your status. In fact, what happened here? Oh, okay. MashaAllah. So, with knowledge only, you can add to your belief to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us good. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whoever Allah wants good to him, so Allah give him the understanding of the deen. So the more you understand the deen, the more you are becoming good person. And the otherwise can be understood. Yeah. Yes, sorry, there's... I think at the back.
Can you open the door from
behind? Yes. Sorry.
Sorry.
Oh, we didn't expect a lot of people to come today. Because usually this class are only like less than 10%. So alhamdulillah today, maybe...
They heard we were doing it in a small place,
so they'll come. Inshallah. Ahlan wa sahlan. Sorry for the small place, small class. I hope everybody is comfortable sitting down. Unfortunately, if you are looking for Sheikh Hussein, he is doing the PMS. Okay, PMS. So, sister, how, long time no see, mashallah. Tafaddal. Tafaddali. So, alhamdulillah. The otherwise you can understand is whoever Allah intends bad for them, so they are far away from reminders. They are far away from knowledge. are only entertaining themselves with entertainment, movies, music, and no reminders. Every day, spend their time playing games, playing sports without any reminders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is at least one day. There's one way that you can implement in your life, which is don't live one day, even a single day, without reciting the Quran. At least you recite an ayah, and then you not only recite the ayah, and then you see the translation that you can understand the meanings as well. So alhamdulillah, the most important thing that the way to increase our knowledge is, and the way to increase our iman is through seeking knowledge. Alhamdulillah. I think we can start with the book. Alhamdulillah. Some introduction for me. Alhamdulillah. So welcome to the Islamic Etiquettes. This is the second series of the class. Last week we started with Sheikh Hussein. So unfortunately today he's not around. So we will continue in the first bab. Actually, this book, Minhaj al-Muslim, it covers every aspect of Islam, from the intention until all of the ibadats. You can refer to it. I think it's not translated fully, but it is in Arabic. But this book is only taking the part of adab, only the chapter of adab. MashaAllah. Okay, very big book, alhamdulillah. So let us continue. Okay. This is the book if you all are looking for. It is called Islamic Etiquette. I think we are selling it. After the class, you can get it from the brothers. Okay. Also, it is available online. PDF, but it is recommended, very very recommended, to spend your money to buy some books, so that you can, you know, you can hold it on your hands and read it. Alhamdulillah. These are all the traditions of the scholars, that they read books. Wow. Ni kena ambil gambar ni. Okay. Okay, no problem, we can continue. Okay, so let me read from the book, and then when some places that we can explain, we can expand, we can inshallah expand, okay? At the Battle of Tabuk, this is page number 13, if you are with me. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. So at the Battle of Tabuk, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna bil madinati aqwaman ما قطعنا واديا ولا وطئنا موطئا يغيظ الكفار ولا أنفقنا نفقة ولا أصابتنا مخمصة إلا شركونا في ذلك وهم بالمدينة فقيل له كيف ذلك يا رسول الله فقال حسبهم العذر فشركوا بحسن النية سبحان الله. And they are the translation, they are people concerning whom you do not travel any distance, nor you spend anything, nor do you pass any valley, but they are with you in that manner, in that matter. The people said, who is that? So he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have been restrained due to some excuse, but they are with us because of their good intention. So what does the hadith mean? This is from Bukhari and Abu Daud. The Prophet said, there are some people who didn't travel with the companion during the Battle of Tabuk. During the Battle of Tabuk, one of the battles that occurred during the 9th of Hijrah. The 9th of Hijrah, one of the last of battles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what happened was, the battle didn't happen, but the expedition was there, what happened. So when they went there to face the Romans, and then it doesn't happen. So they camped for a few days, but there's nothing happened. An interesting story, a lot of stories happen during the Battle of Tabuk. One of the famous story is the story of Ka'b ibn Malik. If you remember, Ka'b ibn Malik and the other two companions that didn't come to the Ghazwa. Huh? Okay? Muka surat 13. the companions who didn't join the battle. So they procrastinated to join the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the army already came back. So they say, oh no. So what they do is they try to find excuses. What should I say to the Prophet? Maybe I'll say I have a lot of things to do. So they are trying to find excuses. So at the end of the day, Ka'ab bin Malik say, okay lah, I just say to him whatever that I did, which is I didn't go because during that time the gardens are coming bearing fruits, his gardens and his animals are giving all of these results. So that's why they are procrastinating. So when the Prophet came back, long story short, so the Muslim boycotted them, these three people. Boycotted them, they didn't give salam to them, they didn't even talk to them, even their wives. Their wives boycotted them. SubhanAllah. So imagine, and the Quran described, it's like the earth is coming towards them. So the life is so very, very tight. So nobody is talking to you, nobody is giving salam to you, nobody is doing mu'amalah with you. So they feel very, very restricted in the lands of Allah that is very, very vast. SubhanAllah. And then, at the end, the ayah from Surah Tawbah, لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ from this Surah Tawbah. And upon the three, Allah already forgive them from whatever they have done. And then, alhamdulillah, they rejoice with the ayah, subhanallah. So the ayah mentioned about these three persons, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ. Okay. And a lot of things happen as well in Battle of Tabuk. For example, the munafiqun, the hypocrites, they built another masjid, Masjidul Dirar, as well mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah. Okay, let us see here. So the Prophet said, there are people concerning, there are some people that didn't go to Tabuk. Okay, they didn't go to, you know, to the valley that you have passed, to the hot sun that you go and everywhere that you have traveled, but they get the same reward with you, the same reward as you did. So what happened? Because they have excuses. They really want to go, but they have some excuses. Maybe they are sick. Maybe something they don't possess. Because if you want to go for war expedition, you need money. You need vehicles, you need camels, you need to spend money. It's either somebody sponsoring you or you have to come up with your own money. So the Prophet say they are not with you, but they get the same reward because of the intention. Okay, so those who this is related to intention. This bab is still talking about intention. Okay. So good intention, let us read here. Oh, okay, inshallah. So good intention in what makes the non-combatant equal in reward to the combatant. It is what makes the non-mujahid, receive a reward like that of a mujahid. SubhanAllah. If you have an intention to become a fighter, an army of Allah, to fight in the cause of Allah, but a lot of things that, you know, doesn't allow you to go, mashallah, you will get the same reward just by good intention. But it's not like intention, I want to go, but you don't think about it at all. No, it's not merely saying in the lips, but you really, really, if the chance will be presented to you, you will go. Same goes to any other things as well. Other good things, those who are intending to do good deeds, right? But it is something happened that he cannot perform that action. So Allah already written down your reward. But if you did it, alhamdulillah, Allah will add another reward as well. Alhamdulillah. We continue. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also said, إِذَا الْتَقَى الْمُسْلِمَانِ بِسَيْفَيْهِمَا فَالْقَاتِلُ وَالْمَقْتُولُ فِي النَّارِ فَقِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ هَذَا الْقَاتِلُ. Okay, فَبِمَا بَالُ الْمَقْتُولِ فَقَالَ لِأَنَّهُ أَرَادَ قَتْلَ صَاحِبِهِ SubhanAllah. If two Muslims meet each other with their swords, then both the killer and the killed will be in the hellfire. Both. Not only the killer, but also, sorry, not only the killer, but also the killed one. So someone said, oh, messengers of Allah, messenger of Allah. That is the case for the killer. But why should be the case for the killed? So he answered, because he wanted to kill his companion. Because he intended to kill as well. So, because their intention, so both of them will enter hellfire. Wal'ayyazu billah. Even though you are not successful in killing them, but because of your really, really want him to lose his life, so that's why he also will enter hellfire. So the impious intention and evil desire have made both fighters equal in deserving the hellfire. If the killed did not have the evil intention, he would have been from the inhabitants of paradise. Have you heard of the story of the two sons of Adam? Right? The two sons of Adam, Habil and Qabil. So Allah SWT mentioned this in Surah Al-Ma'idah. وَتُلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ بْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ. And tell them, O Muhammad, the story of the two sons of Adam. Right? The two sons of Adam. And then what he said, Allah SWT, he accepts from one of the sacrifices of the sons of Adam, but وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. And the other one, Allah didn't accept the sacrifice. So what he said, إِنِّي لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. Verily, I will kill you. And the other said to the other. And then he replied, لَإِن بَسَطْتَ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطِ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ. If you want to kill me, no problem. But I won't move any single harakat, any movement from my hands to kill you. Meaning, he has no intention to fight and he has no intention to kill his brother, to retaliate to his brother. So what happened? So he killed his brother, and then at the end of the day, he is one of those who are very, very remorse and regret. And then he doesn't know what to do with his brother's body. So when Allah SWT sent a ghurab, a crow. So this crow shows him how to bury this body. So that is what happened. And then he buried his brother. فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ النَّادِمِينَ. And he becomes from amongst those who are, you know, very, very regretful. SubhanAllah. So that is actually the first killing that happened in the history of humankind. Khabil and Habil. Okay, let us continue. In another hadith, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam states,
man tazawwaja bi sadaqin la yanwi ada'ahu fa huwa zanin wa man adana daynan wa huwa la yanwi qada'ahu fa huwa sariq.
The one who marries based on a dower and that he has no intention to pay, in fact is a fornicator. And the one who takes a loan that he has no intention to repay it, in fact, he is a thief. SubhanAllah. Sariq. So some have this intention that they want, especially loans. They want to, you know, relieve themselves. They need money. So they take some loan. But they have no intention to pay back. SubhanAllah. How many times this happened? Right? So the Prophet say these are same as the sariq, those who steal from your possessions, Ya Allah. So whenever we are intending to borrow some money from others, so we need, as one of the longest ayat in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, is the ayat of dain, the ayat of loan. Okay, loan. Ya ayuhal ladhi amanu. Oh, you believe, if you want to take dainan, if you want to take a dain, a loan, faktubu. Allah said, write down, and then you must have a witnesses kan, two witnesses. If you don't have find two male witness, you can find another one witness and another two female witness. So a lot of procedures that go through when you wanna loan, when you wanna get some money to be borrowed. Subhanallah, one whole page in Surah Baqarah, ayat number, sorry, let me check. It's good to know. Ayat number 282, ayat 282 Surah Al-Baqarah is the second last page of Surah Baqarah. You know Surah Baqarah, it is 3 juz plus. So 70 pages of ayats and surahs, the Surah of Al-Baqarah, subhanallah. So one page dedicated for loans, subhanallah. So whenever you intend to loan, so make sure we have the intention to pay as well. Okay, so therefore an evil intention cannot transform a permissible deed into a forbidden one. An evil intention can transform a permissible deed into a forbidden one. It can also change a deed that is free from any harm into a harmful deed. Ya Allah. Let us reflect here. An evil intention, that you have an evil intention, which means you want to loan something, it is permissible. Right? You want to borrow some money from people, it is permissible. But your intention to not pay, it will become a burden upon you, subhanAllah. And also similar to the deed that is free from any harm can also be harmful if you change the intention. All of the above emphasize what a Muslim believes concerning the seriousness of intention and its extreme importance. Therefore, he bases all of his deeds upon his pious intention. He also strives his best not to perform any deed without an intention or with an impure intention. The intention is the soul of the deed and its value. The deed is sound if the intention is sound, and the deed is wicked if the intention is wicked. The one who performs deed without intention is doing so out of disdainful show and presence. Okay, so this is what we call niyyah, right? Intention. So something that is mundane, that is very, very basic, very, very permissible, you can change that into something that is rewardable. For example, sleep. Right? Sleep is, everybody does that. Everybody can sleep. But one thing that if you sleep, you intend, oh Allah, I sleep now, I sleep early so that I can wake up tomorrow for tahajjud, for example. So this is rewardable. So your sleep, the whole time that you're sleeping, Allah will give you reward. This is based on the hadith of the Abu Hurairah, if I'm not mistaken. So when you intend something while doing this normal thing, you will get reward as well. For example, you want to eat. I say, I eat something today. I eat my breakfast so that I have energy to go to class, for example, right? So this intention, this is what we call the consciousness that you have doing this thing, that you say, this is for the sake of Allah, I do this so that I can carry on a good deed. So this will be rewarded as well, inshallah. How many, this is one of the ibarah, one of the quotes, how many small things that you do, it becomes big because of the intention. And how many things that is very, very big in the sight of people when they see, but it becomes small because of your intention. So, subhanAllah, things to ponder. Then continue. Furthermore, a Muslim believes that intention is an essential component of deeds and a condition for the validity of the deed. He also knows that the intention is not simply the statement of the tongue, yani, oh Allah, I intend such and such, nor it is simply a thought in the mind. Instead, it is the driving force in the heart towards a deed that is in accord with the sound goal of bringing about benefit or repelling harm, presently or in the future. It is also the will that directs a person to perform a deed for the sake of Allah and to fulfill His commands. So not merely say on the tongue, say I intend good. This is actually happening in the culture of Malay lah. What I see is the quote is saya buat ikhlas ni, right? Saya buat ikhlas. He say I'm doing this ikhlas for the sake of Allah, but he say it like that. And just merely saying ikhlas, that doesn't make it ikhlas, okay? Because things ikhlas, intention, all this is the action of the heart, okay? One of the definition of iman. Iman is qawlun wa amal. Okay, so qawlun have two. The qawlun, that is you say, and then the amal. Some amal is apparent. Some actions that you can, it is using your limbs, and there are some actions that are using your heart. For example, being patient, right? Tawakkul, making dua, and then you know reliance upon Allah. These are all actions of the heart. Okay, have good intention. All of these are the actions of the heart. So not only merely lip service. A Muslim therefore also believes that a permissible act may become an act of obedience worthy of reward and recompense. At the same time, an act of obedience, it is void of pious intention, becomes an act of disobedience worthy of punishment and burden. He also does not believe that an act of disobedience can change into an act of obedience simply due to good intention. Okay, I would like to stop here for a while. Right. Sometimes people, especially here in Malaysia, where I see our friends, they do something that is not permissible, for example. But they say, my heart is good. My intention is good. I do this because not because I enjoy it, because I intend good. For example, right? Can give some example? Yes. Right? Something like that, right? Some of the brothers, they do certain acts of worship that they add on their own, and they come up from their own, and then they say, I do this because I love the Prophet. So for example, this is my intention. Because of my love of the Prophet, so I do such and such. So I do songs for him. I sing songs for him. But the action of singing songs, you know, making new things, making new ibadat to show your love to the Prophet, this is not permissible in our Sharia. To making new, for example, zikir, making new ways of worshipping Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. So this is not permissible. So thus, the intention also cannot change the bad deed. Okay? How many, like the Sahaba said, how many people intend for good, but doesn't get that good? Doesn't reach to the goodness, subhanAllah. For example, the one who backbites a person just to make another person feel better or has disobeyed Allah, and has committed a sin. Yeah, intention is good. He wants to, you know, maybe he wants to make a joke, crack a joke to his brother. So he belittles somebody or he backbites somebody. So the action is impermissible. It is not permissible, even though intention is to make somebody happy. So his good intention will not benefit him at all in consideration with Allah. Similarly, the one who builds a mosque with money from prohibited sources will not be rewarded. The one who attends singing and dancing parties, or who purchases raffle tickets to support good purposes or for the sake of jihad, it is a sinner and will bear the burden of his sin, instead of being rewarded for what he has done. Similarly, anyone who builds a dome over a grave of a pious person, slaughters an animal on his behalf, or makes an oath on his behalf, all of the in the name of having love or for the pious people, is disobeying Allah and earning a sin for what he has done. This is not this is done even if in his eyes he had a pious intention. a deed is not transformed by pious intention into an act of disobedience unless it is something permissible in the Sharia in the first place. As for forbidden acts, it is never becomes an act of obedience under any circumstances whatsoever. So now we can see whatever intention you have behind a bad deed will not make the bad deed good. So he mentions here, if you love somebody, for example, you love your parents, for example, you love some scholars that you admire. So when they pass away, so we want to do service to him. So we build things on their graves, or maybe we go to their graves and asking from that grave things that you need, for example. These are all actually being done, and it is not permissible at all. This is actually ayn shirk. This is the essence of shirk, the essence of associating partners with Allah. Because of course we are allowed to ask help to those who are alive, to those who can listen to you. But those who have passed away, they are in al-barzakh. They cannot hear you. They cannot listen to you. Even if they can hear, they cannot help you. For example, they say, but the prophets and the awliya, they are still alive, for example. Those who passed away. So they bring the dalil of وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا. And you do not think that those who have been killed in the way of Allah is dead. They are dead. No, you don't think like that. بَلْ أَحْيَا إِنَّ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. But they are still alive, brother. At the side of his Lord, has been given rizq. Okay, good. So we tell them, okay, brother, you read the ayah until the end. What did Allah say? عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. He is with this person who passed away. He is with his Lord, and he has been given rizq. Not he is giving rizq. Yarzukun. Not yarzukun. It is yurzakun. So he does not have any power. So he is still hoping for Allah to give him rizq. So subhanallah, all of these shubuhat, all of these confusions, we need to, you cannot entertain all of this kind of things. So, yeah? Asking du'as in the grave, asking, you know, it is not like, oh Allah, with the because of this pious person, help me. No, not that. They will ask straight away to the ones who passed away. Oh Sheikh Fulan, inside the grave, help me. So this is coming back to our country. This kind of culture, this kind of acts of worship. So this is totally prohibited. If you do that, you are not any difference with those Buddhists, those who worship other than Allah. Even in fact, there's one video that I see, a new video, that a Buddhist, he explains, oh, we are not idol worshippers, they say. So these idols, we don't worship them, they say. We don't worship these idols. What did he say? These are all just يُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. It is like to reconnect. It's like a, when we see them, oh, you can worship more. They are just intercessors. Then we don't worship them, they say. So exactly the same thing as the mushrikun say. Subhanallah. Exactly the same as the Muslims nowadays say. That we say, it is not them we worship. We just ask them because of their status that Allah will provide us with whatever we want. Subhanallah. It is the totally copy-paste. So, brothers and sisters, we need to strongly object this kind of things. Okay, this is contrary to the essence of the ibadah of Islam. In Islam. The essence of ibadah is to worship Allah alone. You recited this every day, 17 times a day without fail. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Subhanallah. What does it mean, iyyaka na'budu? Try to understand, right? Iyyaka na'budu, only to you, iyyaka na'budu. And that only to you, O Allah, we worship. And wa iyyaka nasta'in. And only to you, we ask for help. Okay? So, a lot of this is the essence of worship, and this is the conclusion. If you know, Al-Fatiha is the summary of the Quran. So with the worship, iyyaka na'budu, Allah can say na'buduka wa nasta'inuka. This is the normal conversation that we talk when we say we worship you. We say na'buduka to Allah, right? Na'buduka, which means it is a normal conversation. Nasta'inuka, and we ask for your help. But when you change the things that you worship, the object in front, you take it in front, muqaddam, maf'ul muqaddam, so it becomes more focused on the things that you worship. Iyaka, only to you that we worship. And only to you, oh Allah, we ask for help. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from engaging in shirk, engaging in, you know, making dua besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our tawheed and our iman towards Him. Ameen. So I want to proceed actually, because I prepared for the next one, but maybe we can read some and we can end another 10 minutes, for example, okay? Okay, part 2. Because there's a lot of things happening, so they are, I think they want to use some places, they need to rearrange, for example, I think. So inshallah we can finish before 12:20 or 12:15, okay? Okay, bismillah. Part 2. Etiquette and behavior towards Allah. Etiquette and behavior towards Allah. A Muslim thinks about the countless blessings that Allah has bestowed upon him. He considers the numerous bounties that Allah has given him from the time that he was a drop of fluid in his mother's womb. The bounties continue until he meets his Lord. Therefore, a Muslim must thank Allah for these bounties with his tongue, by praising him and extolling him in a proper manner. And he must also thank him with his limbs. So first tongue, second is the limbs, using them in obedience to him. And this show, it is how he should behave towards Allah. Obviously, it is never considered proper etiquette to be ungrateful for bounties one has received, or to reject the bounties of the one who gives. The one who also should never deny the goodness and the bounties that he has received. Allah SWT says in the Quran, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. And whatever blessings or good thing that you have, it is from Allah. And also the ayat, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. And he gave you, starting here, if you count the blessings of Allah, you will never be able to count them. So the ayat before that, وَآتَكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ. And he gave you from all the things, for all the things that you asked for. That you asked for. It's not here, right? What do you mean?
That part is not in.
Yeah, this part is not in, but I recited that, the ayat it came before. He gave you all the things that you asked for. And another verse, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُوا. And remember me by prayer and glorification, I will remember you. And be grateful to me and never be ungrateful. So subhanAllah, this is one of the adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to be a thankful servant, to be a shakir, at least. If not, be a shakur. A shakur is a different level of someone who is appreciative, someone who is appreciating, someone is very, very thankful to for the blessings of Allah. So if you see here, the arkan of syukur, the pillars of syukur, there are three. First is to acknowledge in your heart that this are all from Allah, right? Because of the dalil, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. And whatever things that you receive, it is from Allah. Good things that you have earned, good companion, food, your lifestyle, your home, your parents, your kids, all in good manner. These are all from Allah. So you have to acknowledge this is from Allah. One thing. And the second thing you have to say, Alhamdulillah. You have to praise Allah. Alhamdulillah. For good things, you say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi bi ni'matihi tatimu salihat. And Alhamdulillah, all praise due to Allah. By His will, everything that is good is fulfilled. And if bad things happen, you say Alhamdulillah ala ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillah for whatever situation. Alhamdulillah. So that is you utter your tongue. And the third one, this is what we always forget, we always neglect, which is to use whatever Allah has given to us in His way, in His pleasure, so that He will increase more, increase our blessings. For example, Allah has given you time. Allah has given you time, a lot of time. So use it wisely. Do not spend the time here, right? This one takes a lot of time. Actually, I always tell our brothers and sisters, our students, that you can see every week, I think they will send you a report. Do you have that option? You can set on. They will send you a report at how many hours that you use this. It's called digital well-being. So you can see most used apps. See YouTube. See all this. So they will see. They will send you every week if you set it. So very very good. It's called digital well-being and parental control something. So you see how many hours you spend on those things. Whereas you can spend, sit down, at least 1 hour you can finish one juz of the Quran. 1 hour. If you read slow, at least 1.5 hours or 2 hours, one juz of the Quran. I see here, okay, I don't want to open my, you know. most used app, I don't know this is when, but one of it is, okay. Daily average screen time is 5 hours. 5 hours is a lot, right? 5 hours, I have 24 hours, so minus 5 hours. So basically, alhamdulillah, most of the time I watch YouTube videos, Islamic videos, alhamdulillah. I'm learning. Okay, and don't judge me. So imagine, you can see that, and then you can become more efficient. You can you know, try to tweak here and there, and try to spend some time for Quran, for learning, for increasing charity, or for example. So this is one of the ways that you can utilize what Allah has given you. Because Allah said, the Prophet said, ni'matan maghbunun anhuma kathirun minan nas. There are two blessings that mankind really neglect. Two things. Do you remember what it is? Health and free time. Subhanallah. Al-sihhatu wal-faraghu. When you are healthy, you can do everything. But you don't do anything. You just scroll your TikToks. And when you have free time, you can do a lot of projects. You can initiate a lot of things. But you instead play games, for example. Or rather than do all those things, watching all these videos, consuming. It's called brain rot. Nowadays, they call brain rotting. You just watch. You're consuming a lot of content until your brain is rot. So try to limit yourself, and then remember this hadith. Maghbunun an kathirun minan nas. Whenever later we are older, you have more responsibilities. You are married. You have children. You have work. You have projects. You have to a lot of things. You have to settle. So this time you say, ya laitana. How good if I have my time back, during my university time. I have a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of time, but I don't have money. So I can use all of this to study more, to learn more, to memorize more. Subhanallah. One of the things that I regretted is I didn't memorize more during my younger days. Subhanallah. So those who are still young, brothers and sisters, especially sisters as well, memorize more. Anything that you can memorize, memorize. Especially the Quran and the Hadith of the Prophet. And you can go beyond that, and you can memorize all the books, all the small you call matan text, aqidah text, and all. Very very beneficial later on when you are old, so you can recall all this. Inshallah. Okay. Let us continue a bit. Oh, I've passed it. Okay, but inshallah, just let continue a bit more. I just end with this lah. The feeling that you want to feel grateful is deserving a thanks as well to Allah. The feeling that you feel, alhamdulillah. The feeling that you want to say, you feel that you want to be thankful, is also requires another thanks. So it is an endless circle. You will never be able to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? You will never be able to thank Allah subhanallah. So I end it here, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us whatever that is beneficial and make beneficial whatever we have learned. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our knowledge, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our understanding towards our deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like how He gathered us here in this day one, in this meeting room, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us in a far better gathering in Jannat al-Firdaus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us, forgive our sins, forgive the sins of our parents, forgive the sins of our loved ones, those who are still alive and those who have passed away in Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them and have mercy upon them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify all our affairs and not leave us even for the blink of an eye. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran as the remedy of our heart, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran as our guide and our shifa. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of our affairs easy, to make all of our brothers and sisters, especially in Gaza, to save them, to grant them protection. And alhamdulillah, now we have the news, good news that the ceasefire is going on, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them success and victory and bring back the izzah of the Muslimin. Amin rabbil alamin. So I end here. We open for a bit of a discussion, feedbacks, Q&As, if there is any. فَتَفَضَّلُوا مَشْكُورًا مَأْجُورًا. Ah, ada. Yes. How do you practice tawakkul? Very, very good question, mashallah. Subhanallah. How do you practice tawakkul? Okay. So before you have tawakkul, you need to have yakin. Right? So yakin and tawakkul have to come hand in hand. So first you have to have conviction that Allah provides for you. Allah is the all-knowing, all-seeing. Allah is all-able of everything. That is the first thing that you need to be sure, yakin. And then comes tawakkul. And tawakkul doesn't mean that you just leave it Allah, for Allah to do whatever the miracles are going to happen. No. Like the hadith said, tie your camel and then leave it to Allah. And also the hadith of the bird. Right? So the bird, in the morning, he is hungry. So he will go out and look for food. And the Prophet said, kama tawakkula tayr, somebody who you need to be a tawakkal, have a tawakkal as the bird has tawakkal. So the Prophet didn't say that he waits for the food. So the Prophet said, he went out in the morning with the empty stomach and come back with a full stomach. Khimasa. And then this is the proper tawakkul. That you go do as much as possible that is humanly capable that you do first, and then you leave the rest, that thing that you cannot control, to Allah. That is the essence of tawakkul. Is that, does it answer the question? Okay, mashallah, alhamdulillah. Okay, if you have exams, brothers and sisters, if you have exams, right? So you cannot say, tawakkal. These are happening to us, our friends. We just, tawakkal lah. The Muslims say tawakkal. No, that is not proper tawakkal. So you have to study, you have to go to class. These are all the process of tawakkul. You have to go to class. Bazlul asbab. You see? You have to really, really take care of the things that will lead you to success. And then you, tawakkal lah. That is the proper tawakkul. Wallahu alam. Is there any other additional question? Sorry, sister. Assalamualaikum.
Advice
that you can share with someone, and then they say, "Oh, I've done everything that was, I've done everything that was, but why am I still at this? This is very moment about, you know." So, what is the best simple advice? I mean, not for normal people. So, no, very, very. Actually, a lot of angles we can go. But one of the things that you can tell them is this life is a test. This life is a test. So you won't get anything that you want in this life. Right? Even though you think this is good, asa antakrahu syai'an fa huwa khairul lakum. The things that you don't like actually good for you. Things that you like sometimes is not good for you. So you can say to him or to her that this life is al-ibtila. Ad-dunya darul ibtila. This dunya is test. Whatever you ask, you might get. These are all promises of Allah. The point is, you ask. That is the point. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ دَعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ Allah SWT say, Muhammad, call upon your Lord and I will listen. I will listen. أَسْتَجِبْ I will answer. But, and then Allah said, إِنَّ لِنَّ يَسْتَكْبَرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِهِ So those who doesn't want to call upon Allah, these are istikbar, these are takabbur. They feel they are enough, but they don't need Allah. So Allah relates du'a with ibadah. So Allah wants you to do more du'a. English more du'a. Might as well those things you would get here. One of the hadith said, Allah will save all this du'a in the day of judgment. So you will receive in the day of judgment as a reward for you. So that is a simple way to say lah that have to be patient. A lot of verses about patience you can go through, ask her or him to go through the Surah Yusuf, and not only reciting it, but pondering upon the meanings. You know the story of Yusuf. How many things you know? Our prophet, all of the prophets, they are being tested, right? Prophet, for example, from Prophet Adam, he is being tested with the fruit, forbidden fruit, and he was sent down to earth. And then he taught us Tawbah. Our Prophet Noah was tested with his son. His son doesn't want to believe. Prophet Ibrahim as well, he was tested with so many things. He was thrown in the fire. A lot of things happened to him. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many tests that he has been received? But he remains as the khairul khalqillah, the best of the creation of Allah. Okay, even so, he is thankful to Allah. He still, he is been forgiven his past sin, his present and his future sin. He is confirmed Jannah, maqama mahmuda, in the top of the Jannah. But he still worship Allah as though he doesn't have anything. He said to Aisha, "Afala akunu abdan shakura? Should I not be a thankful slave?" So this is the essence of the dunya, the concept of dunya, that we are. You think that is no this no when you are receiving a lot of money, a lot of food, a lot of you know, feeling very very relaxed. You think this is not a test? No, right? It is a test. You don't think you don't have to. You just have to relax. You can become lazy. You don't do anything. So these are all tests. فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَكُلُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمَهُ The human being, when they are given a lot of things, when Allah have give them ni'mah, all of good things happen to them, receive a lot of, maybe a lot of wealth, a lot of cars and all, houses, very beautiful house, a lot of good family. And then they will say what? Akraman. Allah has make me become mulia. Mulia in English. Allah make me a noble person. Allah will have preferred me upon others. But whenever, وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ When Allah test them, Allah give them test. Allah make them a bit poverty to them. Make them a bit, you know, have some problems in their life. And then they say what? Rabbi Ahanan. Allah, oh Allah has make me become from the lowest of the low. Allah hates me now. And I will say what? Kalla. No, do not think like that. And these are all tests. Poverty or maybe wealth, these are all tests. All tests. لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَمَلًا. Allah is testing you from whichever from amongst you who has the best of deeds. Wallahu a'lam. Hope that answers your question. You have a question, brother? Okay.
Jazakallah khair for the lesson. On page 14, is it possible you can put up the... So on page 14, in the second paragraph, okay, last line, it says, the one who performs deeds without intention is doing so out of disdain for show and presence. Based on the hadith of Umar, innama amalu binniyat, can you perform a deed without intention? Because that hadith says, every action is but by intention.
What I understand from this statement is, without attention that can get reward, for example. For example, something that you intend, it is like mundane. Like intending, for example, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُّنْيَا يُصِبُهَا. Whoever makes an hijrah only for that dunya, or maybe for the girl that he wants to marry, فَهِجْرَتُهِ لَا مَا هَجْرَ إِلَيْهِ. So he will get whatever he wants. So this is the intention of the statement.
It's just that wording.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, of course, there's no action, that there's no intention behind it, right? Yeah. Jazakumullah khairan for your patience, for your attentive listening. I am very, very happy to, you know, sharing all of these things, even though forgive me for my shortcomings, or there are things that you don't understand from my words. These are all shortcomings from me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala